There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number three. Welcome to it. Our third and final live right here on this Wednesday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. One more hour to go. Three games in this third hour of game two action tonight in the NBA playoffs. We will talk all about the home favorites to start off this third and final hour in just a matter of moments. The two teams we expect to play in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Cavs and the Celtics at home tonight, both booked as double-digit favorites, but Boston, of course, without Jason Tatum. And can the Rockets stand up to save the NBA regular season? That will be Donnie's charge for H-Town a little bit later on. We'll go all around this Wednesday in Major League Baseball, right from the mind of Donnie Wrightside, getting you set with all the action today on the diamond. Plenty of that DRS here in this third hour.
Yeah, it's good. We got a nice little mix going through there to set you up for tonight, which I do like the NBA. I was angry yesterday. We had our guy Pete Jensen from the NHL, and I was like, you can't have an 11 o'clock start in a hockey game. What are we doing out here tonight? But we actually have some pretty clean looks here. How about a 7 o'clock start tonight? How about a 7:30 start tonight? And how about 9:30 tonight, which makes no sense. Why do we have 9:30 starts and 10 o'clock starts? They should all be in the 9 o'clock hour. So a triple header that most people should be able to settle in, watch, and enjoy tonight. That's what I'm looking forward to here. How about that?
Later in this third hour, Joe Maddon will join the show to end out the early line to take a look at the slate on the ice. Last night, the Maple Leafs, a commanding 2-0 lead with an overtime thrilling win over the Sens. The Canes continue to beat up on New Jersey, that being the Devils. 3-1 victory. Carolina are Stanley Cup favorites, up 2-0. That late game in Vegas, maybe too late for the Golden Knights. They got hammered by the Wild. 5-2. Three game twos last night, DRS, in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And still a game one in the Sunshine State Showdown. Don't count out those reigning Stanley Cup champs, the Florida Panthers. 6-2 the victory over the Tampa Bay Lightning, despite the fact the Bolts had home ice and were a money line favorite entering the matchup.
Yeah, I think Kachuk came back for that game, didn't he? Had a big night there, if I read that correctly. So, looking good. And hockey, love it. Every single team, no matter what your seed is, you feel like you have a legitimate chance to take a team down. Because why? You don't get as many special teams opportunities there where you're going on the power play. If your goalie plays well, you can advance here. Love hockey. It's just a shame, again, my team in my city doesn't ever get to participate in the fun. Maybe next year, maybe 5 years, maybe never. But hopefully it'll happen again. And we're talking about the Flyers.
Yeah, hopefully so, DRS. Matvei Michkov, he is the future in Philadelphia. Matthew Tkachuk, Captain America, if you will, has not played since the Four Nations faceoff. Was back last night for the Florida Panthers as they begin now in the postseason their Stanley Cup defense. Let's talk about the NBA playoffs, our triple header of games that we have tonight. A game two in every spot inside TD Garden, in the land, in Cleveland, and in Houston. What are we going to see out of those three home favorites? Who do you have the most confidence in? The question for all of you and Fade the Public.
It's time for Fade the Public.
Joe Lisi, big appearance on the show today.
Is he live? Did he say that live?
I think so. He's just been hanging around.
Yeah.
in the background green room for VMix. Sounds good, though, that guy, Joe Lisi. He thought he made some good points about the NFL draft as well. Which NBA playoff favorite is the best bet to cover the spread tonight? The Cavs and the Seas, both double-digit favorites, looking to take a commanding 2-0 series advantage. That's what we anticipate. Really, the story, though, DRS, is our Houston Rockets. Can they stand up on home floor using the home court advantage as the 2 seed in the Western Conference, or is everything we see in the regular season just a sham? The public kind of feeling that is the case. The Rockets just a 3.5-point home favorite tonight. They were only about a point favorite in game number one. But the public, not a ton of confidence in Houston. Which way did you vote, DRS, in the fade the public poll? Were you back in your Rockets?
Yeah, come on. You didn't even have to ask that. We're all in on H-Town. The only thing right now that could get me out on H-Town is somehow J.J. Watt hijacked the Rockets playoff run for his own, you know, causes at this point. That's the only thing that would get me out of there. But if I look at the Rockets tonight, it's a must-win game. And I continue to say the referendum on the regular season for me for the rest of the history of my NBA watching will be determined if the Rockets can actually win this. Because otherwise, we don't need the regular season. We just need a poll like we had preseason in college football, rate the basketball teams, and have them play 7-game series until we find ourselves a champion. It will take about 2.5 to 3 months. Why waste time on 82 absolutely boring and meaningless games? And by the way, also on top of that, like you see Adam Silver coming out and saying, hey, man, ratings were really good for round number one. That's the way it should be because your regular season was so bad. People like me, a Sixers fan, probably watched 2 quarters of basketball in 6 months. But the minute the NBA starts, I'm actually watching way more than that because why? I like professional sports at the highest level when they mean something here. So getting back to the Rockets, make it meaningful. -3 is -3.5 out there. You have to win this game because if they don't, how embarrassing for the NBA and also the Houston Rockets. They're getting swept. They don't win tonight, Ben. They are getting swept out as the 2 seed to a team that barely squeaked into the playoffs. That's what I would be upset about.
DRS, will that be your vow? If Houston loses game two tonight on its home floor as a 3.5-point favorite. You mentioned watching 2 minutes of the NBA regular season before the postseason began. Will that be 0 minutes next year in 2025-26 if the Rockets lose tonight?
Now, look, the only thing, look, Adam Silver is a smart guy. You're the leader of an organization. He knows the only way that you can save the regular season in the NBA next year, Cooper Flagg to the Sixers. That's it. Otherwise, it's useless. Okay. You send Cooper Flagg to the Sixers, we will all watch the regular season, rejoice, and enjoy it. So there you go, Adam. You know how to make it happen next year. Do it. It's worth it.
A couple of caveats then, maybe an ultimatum to the NBA league office. Donnie Wrightside is done watching the NBA regular season.
Yes.
If
come on, Rockets.
The Rockets lose game two tonight, and if Cooper Flagg ends up somewhere not named Philadelphia, if the 76ers in just about 2.5 weeks do not win the NBA draft lottery, and thus the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes. All right, we'll continue to talk about Houston and Golden State a little bit later on, but 70% of the bets on the spread backing the Dubs, and yet it's a 3.5-point spread in favor of the Rockets. Don't forget, game number one, DRS, just a point. And about 16 cents of difference in that money line. 14 cents. -116 for the Rockets. -102 on the other side for Golden State. They won game one by double digits. The area I voted for in the fade the public poll, the Boston Celtics. Jason Tatum, doubtful tonight with a wrist injury. They were a 13-point home favorite after winning game one by 17. And they've dropped by 2.5. Listen. I know Tatum's really good. I agree with George. He's a top five, top 10 NBA player. But Jason Tatum didn't even win Eastern Conference Finals nor NBA Finals MVP. The jersey you see there, Jaylen Brown, he did. And Derek White had 30 in 7 made threes. And Peyton Pritchard had 4 made triples for the NBA sixth man off the bench. You're going to move the line 2.5 because Jason Tatum is not playing tonight against Orlando? Give me the Celtics. I already bet it.
By the way, do you see the 3 games tonight, Ben? And when we talk about the regular season does not matter and the playoffs do where the players care, did you see the totals for the games tonight? 196.5, 212, and 204.5? Like, this, In the NFL, do we drop from 55 to 22 as a total? We don't do that. Wake up, NBA.
More on the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A full Wednesday slate around Major League Baseball and some picks, previews, and bets from the mind of Donnie Wrightside, a man that not only hosts Pro Baseball Today each and every Sunday morning live on Sports Grid at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, a man that hit a 550-1 MLB parlay yesterday. That insight that you will see on full display here on the Early Line. DRS, let's start with the divisional duel this week up in Queens inside Citi Field. The Mets have won six consecutive games, including yesterday against the Philadelphia Phillies. The Amazons have been really good at the dish, and Francisco Lindor continues to rake. Enter the weekend, Donnie, with a batting average around .230. It's already north of 300 at .301, but standing in the way of New York today is the Phillies ace in Zach Wheeler. Philadelphia, an ever so slight favorite at Citi Field, trying to snap that six-game win streak for New York. What happens today up in Flushing?
I don't know how many runs we're getting today, but I don't know, Ben, if we're going to get to eight, and we'll start there. Because if we're taking a look at the pitching card today, and let's just say we do have 30 total pitchers this season that we can rank that are pitching today. If I look at the top five, Zach Wheeler and David Peterson both show up in the top five with XFIP numbers. Zach Wheeler comes in at a 2.51. David Peterson right behind him at a 2.68. So you take a look at the Phillies offense that has been struggling, getting runners in scoring position and cashing in those runners in scoring position. That's not done a thing that they've done well with so far this year. Now you look at the Phillies lineup, like it does have good batters here, and the pedigree pitcher on the mound is really more of Zach Wheeler than David Peterson. But also understand this, 22 at-bats that Peterson has faced left-handed batters, which he's a left-handed pitcher. He's done great. A 36% K rate, no walks, an 050 ISO, and a weighted on base percentage of .212. The best two hitters in the lineup today against left-handed pitching, it's actually Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber, both left-handed batters. So from the right side, you're going to have to attack. Trey Turner's been okay. Nick Castellanos has been okay. But JT Realmuto, Alec Bohm, Edmundo Sosa, Rafael Marchand, and Johan Rojas, all horrible against left-handed pitching. And you flip it over to Zach Wheeler. It's not a great-looking lineup that's, you know, for the New York Mets, but they do have some top-heavy talent. I don't know if we get to eight runs. Do I think the Phillies can win at a minus 120 price? Yes. But I'm not going to bet on the Phillies again and be like, hey, fifth inning, Phillies have one run. Congratulations. It's a close one here down the stretch. Not doing that today. I'm taking the under. I don't think we see eight, which means that under should cash in today.
As we see it right now, the New York Mets have won six straight games looking for that series sweep over Philadelphia. It is the finale of the series. Both teams off tomorrow. Mm-hmm. DRS, as it stands right now, looking at the Phils and the Mets, one of our five games that we have with some day baseball on the docket on this Wednesday. Yeah. We go to the confines, those that are very friendly in Chicago up next. Who wins the regular season series between the Dodgers and the Cubs? To be determined today. Three wins for LA, three wins for Chicago. The Cubbies walking it off in extras, forcing their way back at home last night. No pitcher listed as of this moment for LA on FanDuel, and thus an even money pick 'em on that money line. Minus 108 on both sides. DRS, what is your card showing? Has Dave Roberts named a starter just yet for the Dodgers?
It looks like it says it's Davis here. So I'm just trying to take a look at some of the updated things, see if I have his numbers. Okay, I have his numbers. So let's just take a look. And you're correct. Wait a second. The Dodgers minus 108. Boyd's on the mound here. Boyd actually does have some interesting statistics where it's like, okay, he has an xFIP that's a little bit higher, but an ERA lower. So getting a little bit more lucky. 72 degree temperatures here at first pitch at 7 o'clock tonight with a light wind blowing out to left field. So you'd figure you'd get offense. Now, Noah Davis last year, 98 batters he's faced, a 170 ISO, which is slightly elevated, but a 399 weighted on base percentage, which is really elevated. A guy last year that didn't walk too many people, but also, more importantly, Ben, didn't strike out a lot of batters. You look at an offense today that presents itself against right-handed pitching, elevated weighted on base percentage and ISO power numbers from Tucker, Suzuki, and Bush, also Pete Crow Armstrong and Carson Kelly, you might think that we might be able to get some damage in. Let's flip it over to Matthew Boyd, the left-handed pitcher here for the Cubs. Last year, limited innings here, or should I say limited batters, 213, had pretty good numbers. This year, decent numbers again, but the K rates are a little bit lower, which is why we have that ERA not showing up as high as that xFIP number is. You look at the lineup today, doesn't hit left-handed pitching all that great. Otani's a plus, Betts is a plus, Teoscar Hernandez on fire, Will Smith, but you look at Max Muncy, Enrique Hernandez, and also Andy Páez, all low numbers. But if I'm looking at optimistically saying, I don't know if we're getting two good pitching performances. Fresh off of what we saw last night with 21 runs, why aren't we getting more runs today again at night? Because it's not even a quick turnaround. Like, yo, they played at night last night to getaway day. They're playing at 1 o'clock. Maybe you don't have the great roster in there. No. You get the full 24 hours off and a nice night at Wrigley. Why can't we get a total in this game?
Yeah, just a short two-game set between Chicago and L.A. Both teams off tomorrow. The Cubbies have a weekend series against the Phils. The Dodgers back at the Ravine to take on the Pirates. DRS right now where the Dodgers are. Not the underdog, but technically not the favorite either. 16-8 this year for the Dodgers. 24 total games, favored in 22 of 24. They have not been a plus money line underdog. They've been a slight pick'em underdog twice, a run line underdog twice, still laying the run and a half as of this moment for tonight's matchup at Wrigley. 5-day baseball games in the afternoon hours. Another one in Detroit, the Tigers and the Padres, the rubber match of this 3-game midweek set. Detroit took game number one. San Diego blanked the Tigers yesterday behind pitching Pivetta. DRS, tell us what happens today in game number three. The Tigers and Reese Olson, greater than a dollar and a half favorite right now.
You're getting the exact opposite on the mound today from what you saw yesterday in our guy pitching Pivetta, who's been tremendous this season, was absolutely sensational yesterday. And then they hand over the reins to Kyle Hart, who threw 71 batters this year. He has a combined ISO. He's a left-handed pitcher of 262 with a weighted on base percentage of 369. He's done well against lefties, absolutely flamed against right-handed batters. Anticipated right-handed batters in the lineup tonight outside of Green. Looks like Carpenter and Torkelson. Green, Carpenter, and McKinstry. That means you would have, what, six right-handed batters in the lineup. But also, some of these batters don't present themselves all that well, but it's also one of those feels that you have. Hart, 16 and two-thirds innings pitch, Ben, close to a 7 ERA and a 5.5 xFIP number. You should get runs from Detroit, but it doesn't fit that centerpiece where it's like, hey, that looks like a great lineup here. But I will trust, like, maybe a Detroit team total to the over just based on that pitcher should get hit today. And yesterday, the Tigers didn't hit. They should repeat that today and hit.
Plenty more around Major League Baseball comes your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live right here on this Wednesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid, full Wednesday slate around Major League Baseball. Five of our 15 games in the afternoon hours, not this one. Late night tonight out by the bay in San Francisco. Yesterday, maybe we had a few issues with the Ace Affair, although it lived up to its billing. Today, a true Ace Affair. Logan Webb goes for the Giants. Freddie Peralta on the other side for Milwaukee. The Brew Crew yesterday, DRS, absolutely hammering the Giants, plating 11 runs, winning 11-3. Part of your parlay, that man, yeah. Christian Yelich, who is great at the dish. Nuts. The Giants, a home favorite today against the Brew Crew. What do we see on this Wednesday evening?
I don't know if we see a lot of runs like we saw last night. Case in point, you do have some pretty good pitchers on the mound today. Again, out of 30 pitchers on the card today. Who's number one? That's Logan Webb. 30 innings pitched on the season, an ERA of 2.40, and an xFIP number of 1.92. And by the way, Freddie Peralta on the mound tonight for Milwaukee, 28 and a third innings pitched this season. How about a 1.91 ERA and a 3.59 xFIP number? Here's the funny thing about this, though. Always in San Francisco, the wind blows dead out the center field, usually between 10 to 15 miles an hour. That never changes. So for people that go, hey, Donnie, the wind's blowing, it always blows out there. 56 degrees, the marine layer is going to be in effect. It's going to be tough to score runs. But having said that, like you look at Logan Webb, nothing short of sensational this year. Peralta, a pretty good pitcher. But the numbers do stack up on the offenses. Like you take a look at the Milwaukee Brewers. Yeah. They've hammered right-handed pitching this season, which includes their top 6 to 7 batters that should be in the lineup tonight. You take a look at the San Francisco lineup against right-handed pitching. They've hammered right-handed pitching up and down that lineup. Yastrzemski, Lee, Chapman, Ramos, Wilmer Flores having a sort of reinvigoration of his career this year. I still don't know if it's enough to get them to 8 runs. Cool temperatures, 2 good starting pitchers, 2 decent bullpens here. I do still lean towards the under. I would be surprised if we got anywhere near the runs that we saw last night in this game tonight there.
And you see that total, 6.5. Yeah. It represents the Ace Affair that we have. ALCS rematch, Guardians and the Yankees this week in the land. Of course, it was the Yankees winning the American League pennant over Cleveland a season ago. But so far this week, all Cleveland. They have taken the first 2 games of this midweek set, hoping for the sweep today at home against New York. As we look at the odds for this third and final game, some afternoon baseball in the land as well. But with Carlos Rodon on the bump, interesting. Pinstripes, a road favorite at -154. Total stands at 8. Will Cleveland sweep New York, or will the Yanks avoid the sweep today?
I think the Yankees end up winning this game. It is quite a heavy favorite here. You take a look at Rodon, though. Top 6 on the card today, Ben. 29 innings pitched. 4.34 ERA, which isn't great, but that drops to a 3.38 xFIP number. Why? Strikes out a lot of batters here. Doesn't give too many free passes. Maybe keeps the baseball on the ground. I do like the way that that lineup looks on a day-to-day basis for the Guardians with the ability to stack up left-handed and or right-handed batters depending on the matchup. Here's the only problem. Jose Ramirez has been phenomenal against left-handed pitching this season. You take a look at Gabriel Arias. He's been decent. Angel Martinez has been decent. Austin Hedges, the rest of that lineup, which includes Carlos Santana, Noel Manzardo in the middle of that lineup, not all that great overall with some of the power numbers that we like to look at. However, you flip it over to the Yankees and say, you know what, there's a lot more players in that lineup that you might like. Luis Ortiz has been decent this year as a right-handed pitcher, but he does struggle mightily with the power numbers against left-handed batters. I'm going to get into some of those splits a little bit later to take a look at if there is an advantage on one side or the other. And keep in mind, this is a 1 o'clock start. But Ben Wright, I mean, last night, first pitch of the game, hits a home run there. I thought I was really in good shape for a 3.5 team total that I like for the Yankees, which went down. They only scored 2 runs, but they did have opportunities. But I think he might be the best of it in that lineup. And Aaron Judge, every single night, whether it's not power, he's hitting the ball out of the ballpark, but he's getting base hits, which shows the signs of, boy, I'm elevating my game to. It's just not just a 2-strike pitch. I'm trying to hit a home run. Let me just put the ball in play. He's been great here, but I'm focused on left-handed batters, which includes Ben Rice to start that. But having said that, overall, I do think the Yankees get the win today. I think they could score some runs, all 4 tees. 68-degree temperatures, wind blowing out slightly to right field here. Give me Ben Rice. Maybe another home run today for Ben Rice.
Despite a loss yesterday for the Yanks, Ben Rice did go yard. Aaron Judge was 4 of 4 at the dish. He is batting 411. but just one dinger in his last 16 games, and yet he is running away with the American League MVP in the opening month of this season. It is minus 350. The Guardians got off to a rather slow start, 3-6 to begin. They've won 11 of their last 14. Red Sox playing better baseball. They've won 6 of their last 7. Game number 2 of their midweek set in Seattle. Can the Braves get a series win? Some more day baseball in Atlanta. Bryce Elder, Miles Michaelis in the opening game of the day. Atlanta trying to play better as well. DRS will have you covered with a full MLB hour preview on the Moneyline starting at 11 a.m. Eastern on Sports Grid Radio. NBA playoff preview next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A triple header of game twos tonight in the NBA playoffs. How many of our home favorites will take advantage of that home floor advantage to win as well? For a couple of those teams, DRS, much like last night, as we expect, the Celtics and the Cavaliers, hefty home favorites. We think they will win at least outright tonight to take that commanding 2-0 series lead. Our final game of the night is maybe the most interesting that we'll discuss in a minute in the Rockets referendum to save the NBA regular season and at least make Donnie Wrightside watch 2 minutes of regular season basketball next year. DRS, let's start though with the home of the reigning NBA champs, that being the Boston Celtics. Now just a 10.5-point favorite for game number 2 inside TD Garden because Jason Tatum is listed as doubtful. Slow start for Boston in the opening game of this set on Sunday. They actually trailed Orlando by a point at the break before pulling away in the third quarter, holding distance in the fourth, winning by 17, 103-86. And that final score is represented in game two's total. Playoff basketball, brother. 196.5 is the updated over-under for game number 2.
Oh, that's absolutely impressive, man. And also, you look at them like, that's ridiculous. There has to be a principal play to the over. And then you realize it's the Orlando Magic and now it's the Celtics without their best offensive threat in Jason Tatum. And you actually say, like, who is going to get to 100 points tonight? Because up-tempo is not what the Orlando Magic do. And the Celtics are fine with saying, like, we have great defense. Like, you can't score. We don't have to score 100 points and still able to beat you and possibly cover this spread as it points out. But if I did have to take a free, like, to just get to 200 total. Like, we can't get to 200 total. We can't get a 51-50 halftime and feel like, you know what? We're actually on pace for this at this point. But I still don't get those vibes here. So I'm trying to look at ways to play this game because the thought process behind it for me is the Celtics are better than the Magic. We know that. Tatum or no Tatum. But also, are we really led to believe, like, the Orlando Magic are so bad that I can remove the single best player from the Celtics and they still win by double digits in a game over the Magic? Like, why would you even play games 3 or games 4 in Orlando at this point? Or just how long are we going to sit Tatum out? Because you do understand that if the Orlando Magic win, Tatum will be back sooner than later. But could you rest Tatum for 2, maybe 3 games if you generally don't need him? And that's what the odds makers at the FanDuel Sportsbook Band are telling us right now. You don't need Jason Tatum. You're still a double-digit favorite. For me, I look at this and I'm trying to find ways to say, is it a prop bet? Like Banchero, 26.5, Franz Wagner, 21.5, the only offensive threats they have. Or do you sort of lend yourself to go towards a Boston Celtics prop? Jaylen Brown, 22.5, where he can shine now that Jason Tatum is out. Or maybe Porzingis steps up, or Derek White's dropping triples, or Peyton Pritchard now coming off the bench at only 11.5 points. I'm fighting myself in this game because we're not used to seeing games in the mid-190s as a total with one team's best player out. Like, shouldn't you look at that and be like, well, yes, it has to be the Magic. I have to take them at 10.5.
Yeah, again, you look at where things stand right now, DRS. For Boston, originally listed as a 13-point favorite for game 2 after winning the opening game by 17. 2.5 points for Jason Tatum, who, again, is deserving of a line move. But will it matter that much for this game tonight? I laid the 10.5 with the Celtics. I thought what George Pelecci had to say earlier in hour two, Derek White kind of being that creator, 6+ assists at a -104 price in terms of filling the production of Jason Tatum, is a really good look as well. What's really interesting to me, DRS, we talked about both Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner in game number one. 36 points for Banchero, 23 points for Wagner. Not all that efficient out of Wagner, but the two guys combined to take 51 field goal attempts. They were basically the only offensive engine for Orlando. But who were the leading guys in that play-in tourney win for Orlando over Atlanta? And I understand it's different competition, don't get me wrong. It was a couple of guys off the bench. Cole Anthony, Anthony Black. Cole Anthony does not have a points prop listed as of yet. Anthony Black off the bench. The number tonight against Boston is 6.5. Nobody else outside of Banchero and Wagner, DRS, in game number one scored more than 7 points. If Orlando is going to cover, if Orlando is going to help this game even get near that total of 196.5, they have to find other production outside of Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner.
Yeah, it's you're right about it. And it's saying, all right, do you want to go Banchero 26.5? You know he's probably going to put up, what, at least 18 shot attempts. Like, you know what, I trust him. He's going to be able to be efficient tonight. Franz Wagner can knock down the three-point shot in and out game. But who are we taking as that C option? Because they're all low. Like, KCP used to be a scorer in the NBA, you know, with the Lakers, the Detroit Pistons, 7.5. Like, the guy just does cardio out there, it feels like, on a night-to-night basis. He's got Corey Joseph. Guys, let's hit 3.5 points in the lineup because everything is so slim. And then you talk about Anthony Black. You have to scroll so far down, you can barely find him at 6.5 points here. Somebody has to step up because as much as I want to say we are going to get a lower scoring game, the odds makers are telling you under 200 points. Like, what is low scoring? Like, 83 points for the Magic would be embarrassing, but it's still 83 points. So even if you take a look at Banchero getting 26 points, somebody else has to step up and at least be in double digits where it's like, okay, Wagner's 21. So you have to have a third player, but it can't be like 30 points, 28 points, 4 points, 4 points, 4 points. You see what I mean? Like, somebody has to have double digits, but the factor is, who is that going to be? I don't know. Like, I don't trust the Orlando Magic at all on offense.
Yeah, me neither, right? You could look at a couple other areas for the C's. Who fills the offensive production out of Jason Tatum, who played 40 minutes, of course, before injuring his wrist in game number one for Boston, only had 17 points. Derek White was the leading scorer. Jaylen Brown looks healthier and healthier. Peyton Pritchard had 4 made triples off the bench. His points prop tonight, 11.5 for the new NBA sixth man of the year. 60-1 price on Pritchard, by the way, before this season started to be that sixth man of the year winner. Ultimately, DRS, it should be Boston tonight, even if Orlando can cover the number. Then the question becomes for this series, how long do we go? Boston is a -8,000 favorite in terms of the series total games. +130 in 4 is the favored number. +135, though, in a gentleman's sweep is that second best price. Again, without Jason Tatum, can Orlando win one at home? Maybe. The Celtics in 4, though, at +140 is still the area I would look.
Yeah, and let me take a look, too, because I'm looking at the three-point market here. 3 3-point shots made. Derek White's -400, which is hilarious. But Peyton Pritchard, manageable, Ben, -111 to make 3 3-point shots. If you take Tatum out, like, I don't care, slow pace, fast pace, that's 20 shot attempts that are going to be spread around. And another chance for a guy in the starting lineup to step up. So if I'm looking from a three-point perspective, it probably goes to the sixth man of the year. Like, what's Peyton Pritchard going to do tonight with Tatum out? You can almost guarantee he's shooting 7 3-point shots tonight, right? We don't think he can make 3 out of 7 3-point shots tonight and knock that down. Maybe that's a good look here because Derek White, he's so expensive. He's like getting Steph Curry treatment at this point. We do expect him to have a big night, but not enough for me to lay it. But Peyton Pritchard -111, they make 3 triples tonight. I think that might be something I can get down with.
Yeah, it's not a bad look, DRS, especially when his points prop is 11.5.
Yeah.
That's basically how you get there with 3 made threes. Again, Boston is the minus money favorite to win the Eastern Conference. It's the reigning NBA champs, but they are not the one seed. That is the Cleveland Cavaliers, who, much like Boston, are also a -8,000 favorite outright to win their opening round series. Cleveland, even a stronger favorite tonight than the C's, 12 points in favor of the Cavs against Miami for game number 2. Over-under stands at to 12. DRS, one of our three overs so far in these NBA playoffs. Mm-hmm. Cleveland winning game number one, 121-100 over Miami. Will we see more points tonight? How does that get shored up?
Look, I don't know about the points in this game, but I'm taking a look at taking the points in this game with the Miami Heat because, again, I just want to see. I was wrong yesterday on Memphis, but Memphis didn't play the part of we're going to get smoked the entire game. They were within that number in the fourth quarter. That's all you're looking forward to. I think the Heat now saying, all right, decompress time, made it through the playing games, got iced up in game number one. We're here for game number two. We're going to try to make a game of it. I think the Heat can stay within double digits in this game. I don't know about how high scoring this one is going to be in game number two, though.
We'll talk about those changing numbers for this second game between the Cavs and the Heat, and then Houston next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Cleveland Cavaliers, a 12-point favorite at home tonight in game number two, is the Eastern Conference's top seed against the 8th seed in the Miami Heat. Cleveland won game number one, DRS, by 21. 121-100. Yep. They ended up covering as a 12.5-point favorite. A total pregame of 216 and a hook did go over. One of our three overs in the 15 playoff games we have seen so far. That total, though, despite an over on Sunday, has dropped by a few points. Now at 212, spread basically the same at 12 in favor of Cleveland. What I find interesting, Donnie, although we saw the big favorites to win the NBA championship really handle business on Sunday, OKC win by 51, Boston won by 17, Cleveland by 21. That game, perhaps for the Cavaliers, they were tested by Miami for a good majority of three quarters, really using that fourth and final to pull away. So how competitive is game two tonight?
I think it will be competitive tonight. And the reason I say that is, like, you get into a series, Eric Spoelstra is a very good coach. You know the adjustments that need to be made. And also, I think he understood his team was running on fumes by the time you take a look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, who were rested and ready and also are the better basketball team. We see it time and time again in the NFL. Hey, get a bye week. This team's played three straight road games and playing a team off of a bye. Boy, they didn't look so good. No team is going to look that good. Now, understand this. I don't think the Miami Heat are going to win this game in Cleveland tonight, but that's not what we're asking. The question is, can they win by 12 to 12 and a half points, which essentially means right. two touchdowns. I'm expecting a better performance out of the Miami Heat, trusting Eric Spoelstra in that team, and Tyler Hero would have a pretty good game as well, along with Bam Adebayo, you two superstars in the equation. And also, there is no bonus points there for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and we got to win this game by 20 points again just to send a message. Get the win, go up 2-0, go down to Miami, and hope to close out that series in a sweep, or worst-case scenario, you're back to Cleveland for a gentleman sweep if you do get that one of those games. But understand this. I do think the Heat are better than what they showed in game number one, where they got beat, as you said, by 21 points. I just think they can keep this game within double digits, or at least, I lost the Memphis game I told you last night, but that wasn't like, I can't even believe I took Memphis. They were right around that number the entire game, and I'll take that again with the Miami Heat with a chance to stay within double digits, which should easily cover the 12s to the 12 and a half is what we're getting probably around game time.
The Heat trailed by only 8 at the end of the third quarter. They were down by only 6 in the closing minute of that third quarter. If you had Miami in game number 1 because of that Heat culture, you probably felt pretty good entering the fourth. Cleveland won the fourth by 13 points. 30 points for Spida. Donovan Mitchell, his points prop tonight, 26.5. 27 in the opener for Darius Garland. His points prop around 20 and a hook. Ty Jerome, who was in consideration for sixth man of the year. Peyton Pritchard of Boston winning the award, had 28 points in only 26 minutes off the bench. His points prop tonight, 11.5. But Donnie, perhaps the most compelling game of the night, both from a storyline, narrative, and of course point spread perspective, that's the Rockets at home in Houston, hoping to even up a series as the 2 seed in the Western Conference against the 7 seed in the Golden State Warriors. Game number 1, Golden State won by double digits on the road, 95-85. Houston shot the ball awful in that first game. But Golden State DRS was only a slight road underdog. A point in the spread, 14 cents of difference on the money line, minus 102 for the Dubs, minus 116 pregame for Houston. Despite losing that opening game, the Rockets now a 3.5-point favorite for game number 2. The odds makers know how crucial this second game is for Houston. Added motivation, added wrinkle to the handicap. Also crucial for Donnie Wrightside. If Houston loses this and Cooper Flagg does not end up a Philadelphia 76er, Donnie Wrightside will no longer watch the NBA regular season.
Exactly. I'll start watching the Ignite if they're still around. Maybe the G League's got some good tempo I can watch out there with a team from Bakersfield or El Segundo and the Lakers. We'll find out about that. But tonight, I'll tell you what the interesting look, man, we could get down to it. We can watch Bronny in the G League and have more fun at that.
For sure.
But the Warriors and the Rockets tonight, it does feel like a referendum. And also understand this. This line of the FanDuel Sportsbook, Ben, opened up as a 2.5-point favorite towards the Rockets. It now sits at 3.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. And many outlets are also out there at 3.5. The reason I bring that up is the betting markets are telling us that people are taking the Warriors, but still that line has increased 1 full point. It'll be interesting to see once the public really gets involved in this game later, because we have a 7 o'clock game, a 7:30 game, and this is the nightcap at 9:30, where everybody's going to watch and bet the first 2 games. Then when the third game comes up, you'll see an avalanche of money before that game starts. I'm interested to see if we do get the flat 3s, maybe 2.5s, or crazy as it sounds, maybe pushing it to 4. Because what we saw from game number 1, it was like same old Warriors beating the Rockets. It was what's supposed to happen, which you figure the public would just glom on and say, wait a second, the Warriors are better. They're heavy favorites to win the series now. They're getting points in game number 2. I don't get it. Let me just blindly take the Warriors. And I can't fault you based on what we saw from the odds makers so far. But if you're reading the lines, Ben, without X's and O's, this is a Houston Rockets line tonight as it shifted up 1 full point at the FanDuel Sportsbook. And I respect that. That's why I like the Rockets tonight.
In DRS, it's not as though the public is buying into that notion that this is the Rockets referendum. 70% of the bets on the spread backing the Warriors here. Yeah. I think Houston wins this game, and given what the market is telling us, I think the Rockets cover this number as well. They will need more. Alperen Şengün was the guy for Houston in game 1. He had 26. Nobody else scored more than 11. You need more out of Jalen Green. You need more out of Amen Thompson. You need more out of the vet in Fred Van Vliet. Because on the other side, DRS, 95 points scored by Golden State. That was it. 56 of the 95 combined from Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler. If you are optimistic about Golden State and their outlook here in the Western Conference, and you get those two playoff performers showing up in the way they did in the opening game, that's your level of confidence.
It is my level of confidence. And also, you take a look at those secondary parts where we talk about so many times people have to step up. Amen Thompson, the young great star for the Houston Rockets, listed at 13.5 at plus 100. He needs to step up to the plate tonight. But could it be so different here? You look at the Golden State Warriors from their prop perspective, Ben. Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, 26.5 and 22.5.
Yeah.
If you bet both of those, there's a good chance you're going to get both of those. If you bet both of them, I don't see you losing both of them either way. Like, it almost feels like, let me bet both of those. I know I'm at least getting one of those and possibly two. I can't see a big-time performance tonight by the Warriors where Curry's got 22 and Butler's got 19. I don't see that. High usage rate for both of them.
DRS, enjoy the money line, my friend, until we talk tomorrow, getting ready for the 2025 NFL Draft. Solo mission, MLB Preview. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Four games last night in the Stanley Cup postseason, three more ahead on this Wednesday, a triple header of action in one of the great postseasons that we see. So Sports Grid's Joe Maddon joins us here to end out our 3 hours on this Wednesday morning on the Early Line. Joe, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here for a little bit of puck talk to get us caught up on the ice and everything we'll see in the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Off of another thrilling night last night. Cannot wait for tonight's action. It was great to see the Minnesota Wild actually show up last night versus the Vegas Golden Knights. They're going to make a series of it, Ben.
So we've got one game three tonight, Joe. We've got two game twos in other spots. Let's start with the series that has moved forward the furthest. First game in Denver tonight for the Avs as they look to take that 2-1 series lead over the Dallas Stars. The Stars dealing with some bad injury luck entering the Stanley Cup postseason, but did find their way to an OT winner a couple of nights ago. A decisive game three, Joe. Who wins it tonight between the Avs and the Stars?
You've got Colorado returning back home, and it's a hard one to bet against this team at home. They were so strong at home all season. And then you've got the element of Gabriel Landeskog getting back out there on the ice with this team. He's going to be impactful in tonight's matchup, and I don't think the Avs just win this by one goal. I'm looking for the Avs to come out and completely dominate the Dallas Stars in this one, Ben. I'd lay the puck line in this game, laying the 1.5 for that great plus money, but I'd look for it to start right away, straight out of the gate in that first period. The first period puck line laying the half a goal is coming in at plus 132. You got to look at Nathan MacKinnon. You got to look at KL McCarr, Gabriel Landeskog, Martin Nechez. The list just goes on and on for these players that can make a huge impact in this game. You could also look at fading. The Dallas Stars team total, the team total 2.5, minus 126 to the under. Mackenzie Blackwood has been so solid. He has a 9.13 goals against average versus the Dallas Stars. And I do think this is going to be, 9.13 save percentage versus the Dallas Stars. I think this is going to be a game he absolutely stands on his head.
Joe, let's go to the first game of the night, the first of our three, the record-setting year and historic season for Ovi. Alexander Ovechkin continues, of course, moving past the great one for the most goals scored in an NHL career in the regular season, scored his first OT game winner of his long and illustrious NHL career a couple of nights back against the Canadiens. Tonight, the Caps, a home ice favorite in the nation's capital. Once again, what will we see in Washington, D.C.?
You know, Montreal's going to have to find a way to really shut down Ovechkin in this game, because three goals for the Washington Capitals. Ovi was part of all three with one assist and two goals. He was absolutely phenomenal out there on the ice, not disappointing fans. But this Montreal Canadiens team, you can never count out. They're young and scrappy, and they're a dangerous team with really nothing to lose. No one expecting them to get the win over the Washington Capitals. I'm looking for another low-scoring game in this one. 3-2 style again. Because Sam Montabeau did a fantastic job. Logan Thompson between the pipes there for the Washington Capitals as well. You can look at this a couple of ways. You can look at the Capitals team total under 3.5. You're going to have to lay the juice at minus 145. But I like the first period under 1.5 goals. Look for that slower start between these two teams. That's coming in at minus 102. The game should stay under the 5.5 as well, Ben.
A great look right there, Joe. An opening round playoff rivalry between the Oilers and the Kings continues for game two in L.A. Each of the previous three Stanley Cup postseasons, it's been Connor McDavid and Edmonton knocking out L.A., but the Kings did win in a high-scoring game in game number one on home ice. Can they continue that in game number two tonight in downtown Los Angeles?
You know, if you watched that game, it was insane. If you went to bed during the second period, you thought the Kings were easily going to be able to get that win. But that wasn't the case, as Edmonton did make that push back in the third. With 42 seconds left, we did see the Kings get that game-winning goal and take the win 6-5. It was an insane first game of this series. And I think we're in for some more fireworks, but I'm expecting this to be that lower scoring of games. We know the LA Kings have to lock down stronger on defense. Darcy Kemper is elite between the pipes. They have to shut down Connor McDavid, and I'm expecting them to do so in this one, Ben. So give me in this game the Kings to get another win, Byfield to come out nice and strong, Kuzmenko as well.
Joe Maddon giving us the best for a triple header tonight in the Stanley Cup postseason. Should be a great night of action once again on the ice. Joe, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you for stopping by here on this Wednesday to help us round out the show on the early line.
Thank you so much. And you guys, all the best and all your bets tonight.
Yes, indeed. All right, that does it for us on this Wednesday on TEL. We're back tomorrow, bright and early, starting at 8 a.m. Eastern. It is the day of the 2025 NFL Draft. We will get you ready for everything tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern. Talk to you then on Sportsnet.